Never stops.
Hopefully it'll snow tomorrow.
Right. Oh, it stops.
Oh, is it? Is
Why
eyelash
do they
also?
don't? It's like the last requirement.
There's some shoe. Are you graduated?
So I have the mic on
Yeah.
there. You can tell
It's not
the
a fun with
here.
my. Yet to meet with my advisor. Like, I
All
feel
right, I
like
can hear
I just
you. Am I coming
there's
through?
so many like options.
Ooh.
Cut the pen.
Just
Barely,
try
yeah.
it again. This is true.
All right, how about that?
That's better. It's still quiet, but at least it's there.
What's that? This is an option. I'm gonna
I don't know. I think that's
try
fine.
might.
Yeah.
I've been heavily considering corn washing them for the
Well,
balls up.
it's perfect.
Try it now, Eric.
Okay.
Does it count?
Yeah.
Oh,
All
I
right.
think
This is me
so.
talking louder.
Anyway,
Yeah.
it's this. I'm
Okay.
gonna look at the okay, do we know the audio volume?
There's only one required, which that's
The intro longer. So I switched.
which what you It is, but it's also required more psychology class.
No, that tracks.
It's currently bitching class. I hate classes where I have no people's
Wait, I thought it was supposed to be an easy class.
names. I'm not convinced of this.
Okay, how
Easy
about
here.
now?
Yeah, it's about the
Maybe
same.
more than other next classes. All I know is really bad shit. Also, it might be that I take a testimony. It's like super
I was
easy.
gonna go back here and see how well I can hear you. Do you want me to
Okay,
go out in the
no, I
hall?
got you. I'll test it and then.
That's actually awful. I hate it when I take a class and there's no rate my professor.
There's
There's no
nothing.
review. Like, it's purely word of mouth. Whenever you're ready, Eric.
And the other thing is that the only review online is like a Reddit post from 2 years ago, and it's like,
It's outdated already.
okay, how about now?
well, and it says like,
Can
oh,
you?
there aren't very many readings,
It's okay.
like, but make sure you study for the
Was
tests.
that okay?
Yeah, it's on the class. Yeah.
God. It's like completely backwards about my classes. I don't
I mean,
want
it's
to be able
fine. Just surprisingly, you don't want to do Shamar
to
anyway.
do all
Yeah.
grading and
And you're
everything.
you speak clearly and
Yeah.
there.
And maybe this microphone is not so
That
hot
could
on
be
this
too.
computer.
Yeah, that could be some. But no.
Because it always. Yeah, most of the time I have the best calculation expertise.
It'll be okay. I mean, it works.
So it's coming through there like as clear as that tone is when we're doing
Yeah, just
testing.
not as loud.
Okay.
Like, you think 10 minutes before you see what people?
Okay.
I mean, you're welcome, though.
You could have it because I bought tested.
Sidebar.
That's fine.
Can people hear me okay?
Yep, we can hear you, but I'll just mute. Thank you.
You, on the other hand, have Hawaii in the back.
Well, that's because I know Ithaca's above the Arctic Circle.
I'm sorry, we were still muted. That was my fault.
Not a problem.
Let's try that again.
Marcy Benda.
Here.
Ari Broad.
Here.
Erica Crawley. Eve DeRosa.
Here.
Deborah Dinner.
Here.
Andrea Henland Mott.
Here.
Michelle Heaney.
Here.
Ian Husen. Jeremy Cruiser.
He's it. Not attending
tonight. Patrick Keel.
Present.
Malia Matthews.
Present.
Margaret McGenty.
Here.
Beth Millis.
Here.
Claire Ting.
Here.
Jana Van Houten.
Here.
Adam Vincent. Jamal Wallen. And Shelby Williams.
Present. Thank you, BJ. Okay, now it's time for our land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayagono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gayagono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayagono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayagono people past and present to these lands and waters. Now at this time, I'm going to open the floor to any calls for late additions to the agenda. Seeing none in the room and none in the Zoom, that portion of our closed. I don't think that we have the meeting minutes just yet from the last meeting, so we will hold on approval of those, but as soon as they are available, likely the next meeting, we'll have the opportunity to review and approve them. So we are now in business of the day, and we're just gonna have a bit of an informal discussion on the last meeting. I know that it was very long and high attendance and emotionally charged, and so I just wanna get some of your sentiments about the policies that we discussed, how the meeting went, and just for all of your knowledge, the executive committee is going to be engaged in ongoing discussions with the general counsel so we can try to revise the policies and really incorporate the feedback that we've been receiving from not only members of this room, but members of the broader Cornell community. So first, we're going to start with any voting members who have any commentary to share, and then if we have time, we'll proceed to non-voting members.
I have things, but I just need to pull it up. Can you give me 2 or 3 minutes?
Absolutely.
I just wanted to say we all have such differing points of access to the conversation, and I feel really lucky to be part of the conversation. Some of the different constituencies I represent as a faculty senator on the university faculty committee and as a member of Senate. But one of the interesting conversations about who has access to the evolving conversation to this policy as it's evolving and developing. And we know that in university assemblies, our task to manage the feedback. So I wouldn't mind if we in the room clarify, like if we help clarify what that means, since we've talked about it in the executive committee, like what does it mean to manage the feedback? What is our role and our responsibility as we're starting to figure it out? But I just want to remind everyone that it is our responsibility to manage the feedback. One of the things I thought from the faculty event today. And thank you, E, for moderating. That was really helpful, that event with Vice President Varner and Mike Kopikoff. Although we can hear many times the ideas behind why the policy is here and where it came from and what the evolution is, what was so striking about our last meeting was the articulation of lack of trust and fear. And it feels like those kind of things are going at cross purposes. It's hard to resolve them. And so I'm not sure how to shake a recognition about so many people feeling a lack of trust in where this policy has come from versus the continued articulation about this is about safety and protecting everyone and being a community. So that's just something I would share.
I guess I was not at the meeting, last meeting, and I wish I could have been. But I guess I do have some things to add from the student assembly perspective that I wish I had been able to add last week or last meeting. And we had last Thursday, we had a pretty significant discussion. There's no voting items, but we just wanted to talk to the members and have a more formal discussion about how everyone was feeling on the policy. And I think one of the things that really was important that kind of came out of that discussion was, again, the like lack of trust that you just mentioned. I think one of the big reasons for that is there was this period right before the policy came out where the student assembly was like asked to get feedback and like concerns about the policy, maybe like, I don't know, 6 days before it officially released or something, maybe a week. And we had this long conversation, I think it was an hour and a half, about all these concerns, like a lot of things that we felt needed to change, a lot of minor things, like the fact that students can print flammable materials in the libraries that are larger than what are allowed under the policy, like that just, students should have access to Cornell University resources that are not allowed under the policy. And none of those changes were implemented. And then the big thing that has really like been causing me a lot of concern, I guess is one way to put it, is that that has then been used in conversations with students and admin as a justification for them involving the community. And that has been like pretty difficult for me, I would say, because none of what we suggested was actually implemented at all. And yet it's being used as this kind of like, well, we talked to students, we talked to the student assembly. It's like, yeah, but nothing, you didn't actually, it doesn't feel like you actually heard us when we were speaking. So that's one thing that I've been thinking a lot about.
Just building off of that briefly, there were two suggestions that I have brought to Dean of the Graduate School going to be, like we had a meeting with her yesterday and I was going to bring them to you as well so that it could be brought through multiple channels. But I think there are a couple of ways that trust could be slowly built back in regards to this. I'm not talking about the policy itself, but if we could have a timeline from now on of like when comments are being accepted until and when we could expect a revised policy based on hopefully the comments and feedback, just kind of a timeline of expectation. It doesn't have to be a specific day, but something that we can work off of. And then the other comment is whether perhaps a couple of elected representatives might be able to be on the, whatever group is reviewing the comments with the general counsel, if we could have a couple of elected people there so that we could know what is being incorporated and what isn't and why, instead of just kind of the faceless administration. So if there's any way to get a UA representative or like SA, GPSA faculty, any elected representatives to that kind of conversion to the final document would be great.
Absolutely. One more comment and then I'll defer to you. I agree with the sentence. I think that the incorporation of elected officials' feedback has been rather retroactive. And I think that's, you know, just a recurring theme that I'm hearing in the discussions that I've been involved in. A note on consolidating feedback. I sent an email, I believe it was before the February 6th meeting, with the link to like the public comment form. I think that that could be a really, really useful tool if you guys haven't been distributing that already to your constituencies so that, you know, members can actively post the feedback that they have, because I mean, I've been gathering it through word of mouth, through just like student group chats and, you know, other like non-Cornell forums, like university sanctioned forums, and that is important. But I think that documenting it like in a record is really important, just so we can have like, you know, a formal, tangible thing to point to instead of just a kind of nebulous student concerns. So if you all could continue to direct your constituencies to that, to those pages, to post their feedback, that would be appreciated. Go ahead.
So I guess on that, where can we find the public comment section?
I can reshare the email.
That would be absolutely amazing. So kind of, I guess, bouncing off that point, I guess from the student assembly side too, most, if not all, the assembly felt entirely blindsided, just because there was no input that was being given or no knowledge that any of this was happening. And even like in this retroactive like version, right, like students who do care very strongly about the expressive activity policy, many organizers and advocates that I've spoken to weren't even aware that there was a redlined version or like the side-by-side document for comparison. And I'm getting the sentiment that, you know, these sources, these resources that admin is pushing out to try to make this expressive activity policy more clear is not accessible. People don't know where to find them, and you know, it might as well just not exist to the general undergraduate population at this point.
Yeah, should I do one comment and then I'll defer to you? I think it's partially linked to the fact that a lot of people don't know how to use like and navigate the like university assembly and like student assembly like websites. And so like that's something that I think that all of our governing bodies can work on, just like directing our constituencies to the resources that we have on these official pages. But you're right, I mean, it is challenging for, you know, all of us hold multiple positions within Cornell. And so, you know, we're balancing our student or our employee or, you know, faculty positions in addition to these, you know, positions that we're doing out of the goodness of our hearts for the better of Cornell. So it is really challenging when we're kind of thrown these resources and then told, okay, make sure everyone has access to them. So I hear that, and that's, you know, a concern that I share as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was going to just touch on the fact that it is, I think, I believe now on the assembly's website. And so that resource is becoming more available to people, but definitely still important to get it out. I also think that one of the other big things that has struck me thinking about this has been there is this narrative that these policies have always been here, and therefore we're not really changing anything and we're just consolidating and there's a couple of new things, but it's really all the same. But like anybody who knows anything about policy knows that like not enforcing a policy is just as much of a policy decision as writing a new policy. And none of these policies have really ever been enforced before. And like, it's like, oh, well, there was no amplified sound in Day Hall when it was occupied last year. The cover of the Cornell Daily Sun is someone holding a megaphone. And it's like, what is the distinction? Like, why? Like, this feels very targeted. You can keep saying it's not targeted, but like, it feels very targeted. And I understand there's a lot of external factors too, but like, I also just don't like being misled. And I feel very much like I'm being misled. That's just how I feel personally.
Oh, you can go first, Eve. Okay.
I was just going to say, sorry I wasn't here for the last meeting.
That's okay.
But yeah, I think that a lot of what you just said really echoes with a lot of what I've been hearing, is that it feels extremely targeted, and that student groups who are very affected by the current political situation right now can't help but feel that it's due to their presence. And I think at the graduate student level, we have the union protests parallel to this. There have always been megaphones, there have always been signs. There were even police escorts at the last one, but it was very much so at a distance and not, the sentiment feels very different. And that's what I've been hearing from many student leaders. I don't know if this is something that's paralleled in the undergraduate student body, but I know in the graduate student body, I attend the Graduate and Professional Student Diversity Council meetings. And I think that that would be a really great place if the university took the initiative to have an open conversation with them. because I do know I invited one student organizer on my behalf to the assembly's breakfast. And I think that, you know, they are the groups that are being targeted. So if the university wants to begin to rebuild those connections, those are the groups that they need to make the initiative on. Yeah, I think that's all I have for now.
Thank you. Go ahead.
So I have one substantive comment, two like tiny practical suggestions, and then I wanted, if people would bear with me, to just paraphrase two different documents that my colleagues submitted to the UA's link and to the general counsel's office. So my question on trust, I also agree and have some similar feelings about trust on this end. And it also just strikes me that the university's administration hasn't shown a lot of trust for the student body here. It seems like they're looking outward at what's happened across campuses nationally and then kind of trying to foreclose that and manage their liability risk, which I'm, you know, sympathetic to as a concern, but haven't really trusted that some of the really most disturbing instantiations of protests that have kind of crossed the line on campuses haven't happened here. So I wondered if that would be a point kind of working, making to the administration that students here have actually shown and manifested a lot of responsibility in the forms of their protests. The two really practical suggestions, I wondered, I got the UA link when it was sent in emails, but when I looked at the website before I kind of referred back to the email, you have to go to the input section and then look for it. I was wondering, just given the importance of this, if it would be possible to post the link on the homepage with like a banner or something, just to make it very visible, just a thought. And then on the collecting the comments at the end, this would be a lot more work. but one thing we could consider doing is writing a memo to the administration at some point in the future, whenever their timeline, I thought the timeline point is actually really at some point, but and saying this is our summary of consistent themes across the feedback, although we'll have to see. I mean, that could be like a major, major task, but if people were up for it, that would be one way of having official document back that would actually make it very hard to ignore. So those are my suggestions. I want to quickly summarize a couple comments that my colleague best made to communicate to the body, and then ask actually if it's possible whoever's in charge of the minute meetings to put it into the more complete documents I can forward to you to put in the minute meetings. Is that okay?
Like, are they attachments? I can link.
There were documents.
Okay. Like entered into like the record.
Yeah, just entered into the record because I'm only going to be able to paraphrase really briefly.
Yeah.
We can talk about
great. Yeah. So my colleague Chantal Thomas, who some of you may know, had a really extensive document, and I'll just highlight a few things because it's too long to read. But she asked for a clarification of what's new and what's different, and that might be somewhat met by the red line document. She wrote this earlier, but she had a number of substantive questions and she asked for clarity on which aspects of the policy are mandatory and or sanctionable, because that one definitely wasn't clear last week or 2 weeks ago when the general counsel spoke to us. And she wrote at the February 6th UA meeting, it was emphasized that the policy should be viewed as educational. It was said to pertain to the policy elements such as the request for advanced registration. At the same time, several speakers from the floor pointed to the broad scope of the Cornell Code of Code of Conduct and the fact that maybe the Code of Conduct could be read through the lens of this policy. So actually, the policies wouldn't just be kind of educational and guidelines, but would have disciplinary consequences. And so out of that, Professor Thomas says, can students be sanctioned under the Cornell Student Code of Conduct for failure to comply with any aspects of the policy? If so, will the university clarify which elements of the policy are sanctionable? And then she also had a number of questions whether particular restrictions constitute overreaching. So for example, the ban on use of sticks or poles. Is a student who carries a classic stick-mounted rally to a demonstration on Cornell's campus subject to the code of conduct or other sanction for carrying a potential weapon. Does the university intend to enforce this aspect of the policy against sticks or poles that are used to hold protest signs? Professor Thomas was also concerned that the ban on posting anonymous expression on campus might constitute an overbroad infringement on campus speech, and asked that the administration clarify why or why not. So that's kind of the gist of what her questions really were for the administration. And I'd like to submit those into the minutes for this meeting. And then the Office of the Respondents Code Counselors and their faculty advisor, Sherry Johnson, also shared with me comments that they submitted to the General Counsel, Danica Varner, as well as Martha Pollack, Mike Kotlikoff, and several other members of the administration. And I think they're worth taking a look at for all of us, because it was actually just a very legally well done, very measured and rational, reasonable kind of set of very specific, concrete, tangible suggestions. So one of them, for example, was that the policy, the language in Cornell's sole discretion should be eliminated from the policy, because that language would imply to the readers that it leaves the university with more discretion to restrict expression than it actually has. Another key point here was that the policy should clarify that an event is anything that requires the use of university resources other than spaces that are open to all campus members. So kind of a special registration of a room rather than being out on the kind of lawns that are available to everyone. And that the policy should guarantee a written explanation to organizers whose events Cornell disallowed. That would guarantee that there was some kind of reasoning process that would cabin the university's discretion in a way that would ensure that the policy is enforced in a content neutral manner. And then there's a couple more suggestions along these lines. Those were the three most important, but I'll enter this into the minute meetings too, because I think there's a lot of conversations going on. It might be helpful for the UA's executive body to have these, so that to the extent that they agree, that different conversations can be re-emphasized. So that's all I say.
Thank you. And if you haven't already, and this might be an oversight on my end, can you forward that to me?
I'll send them now. I haven't yet.
That's not a problem. Go ahead.
Yeah, very much so. Building off that point, a lot of what feedback that I've heard from the student community, like beyond just sanctionable actions within like expressive activity, but also sanctionable actions by counter protesters. How far is too far for a counter protester to go? And by that same vein, what protections do individuals or groups have? Oh, that was everything.
I also think that this, and I think this is a topic for maybe another meeting or, but I also think that all of this stuff happening on campus right now really is a good kind of sheds good light on, our code of conduct processes as a university, and the fact that like a lot of, I know that they were recently updated not that many years ago, but from me as a student's perspective, it feels like very much of a black box. And it also feels like Cornell has pretty much sole discretion when it comes to code of conduct stuff. And it's not really a judicial process. I don't really have like a lot of the protections that are afforded to us in the United States at large as a citizen here at Cornell. And I don't, you know, fingers crossed I will never need those, but I know that other students do for a variety of reasons. And so I just think it's an important conversation for us to have. It feels like this is kind of an opportune time to open it up to that discussion at some point or another.
Do we have any comments from voting members on the Zoom?
As someone who attended the leadership breakfast, I feel like the overall vibe of that was very defensive. Like, they're not actually taking our feedback seriously. They're just like, oh, well, you're wrong because XYZ. Or, like, you know, without saying it in all those words, kind of beating around the bush, saying that our point of view is wrong. Like, oh, well, these were already in the policy, but, like, as you guys pointed out, clearly they weren't enforcing the policy. So, like, I don't know. It's just, how can they expect us to have trust in the administration when this never went through the proper channels to begin with? It makes people who are in these positions, dedicating their time, volunteering their time, feel like we're pointless. Like, what is the point of UA of when something really significant like this comes up, and we're not, and it's not going through the proper channels? Like,
yeah, and I'll just add, they know that, you know, some of us in this room were not in the leadership breakfast. It occurred last Thursday, I believe, and, you know, a lot of the student leaders, like undergraduates specifically, including the undergraduate elected trustee, JP Swenson, and I both expressed the fact that, like, it's really essential to include large stakeholders and this discussion, and not just the specific or delineated groups that were consulted. And, you know, I hope that that feedback was received, and, you know, it does, like, I am actively being included in discussions now going forward, but, you know, I think that this is just kind of a reflection of the bureaucracy, you know, that, but also just, like, lack of coordination and cohesion across all of these groups within the Cornell community that could, you know, significantly be improved upon. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to second, I think, all of the things you all have been saying. And for me, this makes me think back to Martha's visit earlier in fall semester. Because I remember, I don't remember their name, but I remember they were a student assembly member. And they were trying to make the point that they felt spoken to by administration and not heard. And I think that this feeling predates this motion, this policy, and this feeling, if it truly wants to be addressed, I think it needs to come from the university administratively and not just from us because of this.
Yeah, I think I have a couple points. I think one of the other frustrating things for me about the process by which this was done is it feels very much like not only were the proper channels, like, completely disregarded in terms of creating a new policy, but also then the backlash for this new policy was kind of dumped on the assembly's, like, doorstep. And I think that's, we've seen that in many ways. You know, I've seen that through the, like, lots of emails that I get every day asking why I signed on to this policy, because that's what people keep getting told, that, like, I had feedback when, again, I, like, really didn't. And, like, we see that as, like, the UA is now the quasi body taking complaints about the policy when the UA had nothing to do with the creation of the policy. And it's like, and I think that there is, like, some movement. Like, I know that there was a town hall today, and we're in the process of trying to schedule an undergrad town hall soon, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. But I think, like, the initial reaction was very much like, okay, let's create this thing and then let's, like, dump the problems. And that's, like, very hard for me. It also feels that there's, like, kind of a warped perspective of, like, what Cornell University is an institution that's going on right now. Like, the way I think of Cornell University is we're, like, kind of all in this together, right? There is no Cornell University without faculty. There is no Cornell University without undergrad students. There is no Cornell University without graduate students. There is no Cornell University without employees, right? You need all of those pieces individually to, like, make sure that we are the institution that we are. And kind of the way it feels to me that thinking about the structure of Cornell University is happening right now is that there's, like, admin at the center, and there's kind of these concentric rings of everybody else. And, like, they feel kind of insulated from attacks. And they're like, well, we can, like, disregard the outside concentric circles. because there's all these other things in the world going on that like we need to protect ourselves, but like we are one institution and it doesn't like, there is no admin without like the undergrads. There is no admin without the employees. Like it all has to be cohesive together. And I really think we need to try to figure out how to get back to that. I think that's a transition that has been going on for quite some time, perfectly frank, and I think that goes to what you were saying.
I really appreciate what was just said and what everyone is saying. It's true that there feels like there's the distrust is connected to a feeling of disingenuousness, whether it's realized or not. One of the things that was articulated today in the town hall is that Prozkov said, this isn't a knee-jerk reaction to everything that's going on campus, and also articulated that interim means that this is now the process of making the policy. But I think a lot of us have felt unsettled, even though I was in one of the early rooms in December, as I articulated at Senate last week. It's my feeling in December when the semester had ended to my feeling in our meeting last week was totally different. Because in our meeting last week, it felt like the first time people could really respond to this policy and see what the reverberations of are this policy. It seems like if the UA is going to take a responsibility, or if it is our inherent responsibility in our charter to manage these comments, we need to create a committee. It's not just when we have executive committee meetings off the side. It feels like we need to have a bigger process of developing our response to it by assessing this, if we even have the bandwidth of the time. It feels like it is our responsibility, and then clarifying what that responsibility means and then what the timeline is. Again, that was such an articulate thought about what's the timeline that we have to give these thoughts back, and then what is our mission.
Absolutely. And I think that I want this to be the project of the UA specifically this semester. I see that we have comments in the chat acknowledging the CCC and that it does have, you know, jurisdiction in this area. However, I do want to have full university assembly consistent feedback in this matter, because this is an issue that touches every pocket of our community. And I do fear that there's a risk in just ascribing this to the sole discretion of the committee members. And I recognize that, you know, anyone who have been on meetings have been granted the opportunity, but I want this to be a full and robust discussion, because part of the reason why there's a lot of backlash now is because this has been kind of tucked away in private and, you know, just other non-inclusive spaces. And it's important now to include everyone. Okay, any other feedback? Okay, so I want to shift the discussion a little bit towards next steps that we all plan on taking. We won't meet again in this forum for another 2 weeks. So anyone, and this isn't like a, you know, a mandate obviously, but if you all have like any action items that you personally as UA voting members are going to take in between now and 2 weeks from now when we reconvene, welcome you all to share that with the room, just so we can A, have it on the record, B, also try to inspire other members to kind of follow suit and incorporate those plans into their own plans going forward.
The GPSA sent out its communique, which goes out about every 2 weeks on Monday, and I used the first paragraph of my presidential address at the start of the newsletter to highlight and put links to the two new policies and the commenting link as well. So hopefully there's some graduate professional student feedback there.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can follow. So I wasn't able to make the leadership breakfast. So I ceded my space to student leaders who felt personally affected by this, in addition to this graduate student trustee. And beyond that, I have been trying to request from groups like the Graduate Professional Students Diversity Council to submit this type of feedback through these mediums, because I think that those groups are the ones both most affected and also the most vulnerable to these policies.
One of the things that we are working on in response to a comment that was made to me by the Dean of Students, Dean Love, which the comment was, oh, not that many people actually care about this. And this is like a very specific group of people who like want to, who like really care a lot about this, and which was frustrating. So what we decided to do, and I guess we haven't actually technically decided to do it yet, but we've started talking about maybe doing a rapid referendum. And there's a lot of things that would have to go into that in terms of if it's even feasible, because we have elections coming up, and what work does that make for the OA? And so we're exploring those options. But just to get a better idea of how people actually feel about this in the brighter, in the broader community of undergraduates. So something we're working on.
Anyone on the Zoom? Okay, thank you everyone. I think that was a really productive discussion. Now I'm going to allot time for committee breakouts. I know that not all of the members of the committees are here, but I have been hearing feedback that the committees aren't meeting as frequently outside of this time, so I continue to hold space for that. So if you are here and recognize some of your other committee members, let's grant about, let's do 6 minutes for breakouts, and then we'll reconvene and move to our assembly report section of the agenda.
Do you do breakout rooms on Zoom?
We can't. I think I might have the. Do you see breakout rooms?
Point of personal privilege. Could I give my student assembly update before? Because I'm gonna have to leave.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. The student assembly has not been doing a whole lot outside of this expressive activity stuff. We are gearing up for our spring elections. We have our new elections director. And again, we'll be doing the referendum. We're also doing a referendum on median grades just to see where the campus community stands on that. I know that was something that was passed by the faculty senate, but we did, before that happened, have a really lively discussion where many members of the undergraduate community who are elected officials felt like median grades are really important. And so we wanted to see what the broader population of undergrads think about it, and maybe try to revisit that either later in the semester or next year, depending on what the results are. And yeah, any other things to?
Not that I can know of.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys. Okay. If you all have the ability to hop on Zoom, otherwise, you can just maybe share a computer with someone in the room. But I think I just opened Rooms. I don't know if you guys can see that. I don't really do Zoom that well, but you guys want to hop in the rooms that are there. So take about 6 minutes to discuss with your committee members, and then come back and reconvene. Yeah, that's got Rooms.
Did you build these, Shelby?
I did.
Oh, okay. Working? You can. I would have done that for you.
Maybe the broadcast button. Oh. You know, let me close the rooms, and then Jessica, I might just give you the section.
It looks like people have to join these themselves.
Oh, okay.
I don't see it as an option.
Oh,
it says wait to be assigned.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
There you go. And that. Set it to
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
feels like a lot.
It's good to bring it. Okay, everyone. Thank you for that. I hope the discussions within the breakout rooms were productive. So now we're going to progress to our assembly reports portion of the agenda. Seeing that we've already heard the president of students, I'm going to progress now to section B, the report from the graduate and professional student assembly.
Yeah, we had our most recent meeting last night. It was quite productive. We did a presentation on Robert's Rules of Order because we have a couple more touchy topics that we're discussing. So it was good to have a refresh on that. We also had a presentation from the Center for Teaching Innovation director going over opportunities and classes available to graduate and professional students who are teaching at Cornell, which was great. And then we did pass a resolution that exempts affinity group organizations from our membership requirement for tier funding. So any groups that are that apply for affinity status and affinity funding will not be demoted a tier because of lower membership numbers, which is something they might not, you know, be able to control here at Cornell. So we'll be sending that out as soon as it is fleshed out a little bit, because it's one whereas clause right now.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you. Next, we'll hear from the employee assembly.
Yes. Hi, everyone. So for the employee assembly, the main things I can report today are we just passed a resolution last week in support of President Pollack in response to John Linseth's letter. We are working on another resolution supporting DEI initiatives, but that is still in the works. This Thursday at 10 a.m., so it's the 22nd at 10 a.m., we are holding a town hall, and that is in partnership with Human Resources. So we'll be discussing the expressive activities policy at that time in greater depth and how it relates to staff. Our next EA meeting is actually tomorrow. We have a presentation from the Einhorn Center, and we'll be talking a little bit more about expressive activities as it pertains to staff. And then we're kicking off spring elections in another couple of months. So that's about it for now. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you. And I won't be able to attend the town hall on Thursday, but if you don't mind maybe sending me like a short blurb of anything that, you know, is new and pertinent that you think that, you know, might be good for UA members to be aware of right after, I'd appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely. Will do. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, the report from the Faculty Senate.
Good evening, everyone. In our last Faculty Senate meeting on Valentine's Day, we had two updates for the Senate for resolutions we passed last year. One was looking at the 8-year clock for tenure for faculty in the College of Business. So that's an extension for majority of the faculty going from 6 years to 8 years. And then we also had an update from the Dean of the School of Continuing Education about the non-traditional part-time bachelor's degree program and the sort of progress they've made thus far and going towards that decision, if that's gonna happen. And then we started the conversation about the interim free expressive activity policy, and we have a pending resolution from senators and a lot of faculty members that we'll be discussing in our March meeting. And today we had a town hall with Provost Kotlikoff and General Counsel Varner. And on February 28th, if faculty so desire, we could have a faculty forum to continue the conversation. And I should let the UA know that the recording from today we can send to you so it can be posted on the UA website along with the Dean of Faculty website. And that's everything.
That would be wonderful. Thank you so much for the update.
Okay, so next we'll progress to committee reports. Executive committee, I can share, we're just in ongoing conversations with general counsel. We should be meeting with her at the left of next week. We'll be sure to report the findings. Also, this is just something I was, you know, thinking about after hearing discussion from today. You all want to bring forth any resolutions about the policy to this body. I'd welcome that. Maybe we could have something on the agenda for the next meeting. I don't know the date off the top of my head, but 2 weeks from today. If you have any feedback or you'd like to collaborate with me on that, I'd be happy to, you know, jump in on any discussions. Anything else you guys want to add? All right. Cannabis codes, any updates? I know that Robin replied here today, but
I don't think we've met or not to acknowledge.
Yeah. Not a problem. Cannabis welfare, any updates?
And we did have a meeting recently, but it's more of a reporting of things. I think we need to talk at our next meeting in light of some other things and see if there's any resolution activity or thoughts associated with that. Maybe some pre-form discussion as opposed to reporting.
Yeah, we do meet once a month regularly outside of this because our chair doesn't come to these meetings.
Gotcha. Thank you. And any updates from the site? Jamal is not. Okay. Seeing none, before I adjourn, I just want to say that you can, if you guys want to have chats with me, I'd welcome that. I had a lovely chat with Deborah on Friday. So if you guys want to grab coffee or anything of that nature, just to discuss how you're feeling about the UA, discuss these policies in a more intimate forum. You guys have my email. Feel free to reach out. Okay, at this time, I'd welcome any motions to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Brianna,
consent? Unanimous.
Is that a second? Okay, it has been moved and properly seconded that we adjourn this meeting at 5:55 p.m. Thank you, guys.
Good night.